This is the morning sermon from Hillcrest Chapel in Portland, Oregon. Pastor Gary W. Custis is preaching and teaching through the Gospel of John. For more information on Hillcrest Chapel, please visit our website at www.hillcrestchapel.org.
As we all know, it is a great blessing to be a Christian. Thankful to know Jesus Christ as our Savior and Lord. We're thankful to be saved. Thankful to have eternal life. Every day we're thankful for these things. But it's also challenging to be a Christian. We're called to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and to live for Him. But we live in a world of darkness. Opposition comes from our own sinful flesh within us. It comes from the world about us that seeks to conform us to the world's ways. And also the spiritual forces of wickedness, including the devil and his demons, who determine to turn us away from the Word of God. They're always attacking God's Word, always seeking to separate us from Him. But even so, our responsibility is clear. We are to live a holy life in an unholy world. Sometimes we might think that when God gives us this challenge that He doesn't really understand how hard this is and He doesn't understand our troubles. But we know He's omniscient. He knows everything. But Jesus also knows life by experience. He too was called to walk in light of God's truth. He was to pursue the will of God in an ungodly world. He often faced opposition from enemies, but also from his friends at times. But he remained faithful. And he knows our struggles. When he calls us to follow him, he knows the difficulties that will be involved. We often follow him blindly, so to speak, trusting that he knows the way. And most often we don't know the reason for his leading, but we follow anyway. Our challenge is to be obedient, to be faithful in that obedience. And it's never easy. It's not easy for Jesus Christ to do the will of the Father. This involved the pathway of trials and tribulation and persecution and ultimately crucifixion. Jesus Christ was intimately acquainted with the will of God. He knew exactly the will of the Father. He knew the pathway on which he was to walk and the reason for being there. But even with him, it was not easy. His Father called him to suffer and to die. And yes, this was for our great gain. Still difficult for Jesus Christ to complete that ministry. But the Lord calls us to walk on a pathway of his determination. We often don't know the reason or the purpose or the destination. We just know that he knows all of these things. And we also know that he goes along with us. He will strengthen us along the way. He will be faithful to us to the end. So always know that the Lord who calls us to do what he wills us to do also enables us to do it. And the Lord who calls us to go accompanies us as we go. So this is our comfort. We know the power and the presence of the Lord. Very encouraging to us as Christians. Well, I want to look at this statement in Scripture that is, I would say this is an interesting statement in John chapter 11. I think it's always good to approach your Bible and ask questions. And I say it, to ask questions, meaning a question like, why is this here? As long as you ask questions of the Bible and ask questions of the Word of God on your knees, and by what I mean by that is submissive to God, saying, I don't understand why all of a sudden you're speaking like this. Why is this here? And why are you saying this in this way? Because if you read this passage, it would be very easy to skip and take these verses out, because it really doesn't change the whole of the passage. But these verses are very important. The verses I'm talking about is in verse 7. Then after this, he said to the disciples, "Let us go to Judea again." And the disciples said to him, "Rabbi, lately the Jews have sought to kill you. You're going there again?" Jesus answered, "Yes." That's not how Jesus answered. I mean, he just could have said, "Yes." And then it would say, "Our friend Lazarus sleeps. I go to wake him up." So why does he give this statement that it's almost kind of a startling statement? It's as if he gives a parable or a word picture in the midst of this conversation. And when you ask those kind of questions, I think the truth of God's word can jump out at you even more. Why is this here? Why does Jesus answer and say, "Are there not 12 hours in the day?" That seems rather obvious. "If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble because he sees the light of the world. But if anyone walks in the night, he stumbles because the night is not in him." Then I say, what does that have to do with going to Judea now? But it has a lot to do with going to Judea, and it has a lot to do with following the Lord, but it's an important statement for the disciples, very important for them. And it is important for us. Because Jesus' call is the light. He walked in the light, and he calls us to walk in the light. And he gives us, he's all the way back in John chapter 8, he made this statement, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." Now he takes that general principle and he applies it to a specific situation. And that ought to be interesting to us. Because he's not only going to apply this to a specific situation with the disciples, but he applies this also to a specific situation with reference to our lives. That's what is important for us to see. So, he makes this statement, this call to depart. Let's first look at this in verse 7. Then after this, he said to the disciples, "Let us go to Judea again." After what? He's received a message. Lazarus is sick. And the message is, "Come, please. He's sick." And Mary and Martha know that Jesus Christ can heal. And Lazarus is sick. He is sick unto death. They're very much concerned about him. And they say, "Lord, come. Come now. And heal him. Hurry. We don't know that he's going to make it. He is at death's door. Hurry. Come, please." And Jesus' response to this message is to delay, to wait. No explanation as to why at this point. He just simply delays. It's an urgent request that he responds to without the urgency. He just waits. This might have been perplexing to the disciples, but perhaps the disciples, in view of what they said, were saying, "Well, certainly that would be a risky thing for us to do. I'm glad the Lord's not thinking about going back, because we don't want to go back there for the reasons that they're about to state." But then suddenly Jesus says, "Let us go to Judea again." Now, this decision is obviously declared by the Lord, and it's declared in his wisdom. And with the Lord, I think it's very important to understand that the Lord was not spontaneous. I think there's one thing you can say about the Lord in his life and ministry is that he was not spontaneous. He didn't wake up in the morning and go, "Ooh, this is a wonderful day. Let's go back to Judea." No, that's not how he conducted himself. Because Jesus, as the Son of God, had perfect knowledge of the will of the Father. He knew exactly what God wanted him to do with reference to the big picture of the incarnation and the ministry and the atonement on the cross. He knew the big picture. But he also knew what we don't know. And that is exactly what he was supposed to do every day. The delay was not his idea, it is the Father's idea. And the Father said to him, don't go now. The next day the Father said, don't go now. The next day the Father said, go now. Very precise for the Lord Jesus Christ. And we already know that he had a big picture of what's going on because it says so in verse 4. When Jesus heard that he was sick, the sickness is not unto death. The ultimate end of this sickness is not going to be death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it. That apparently satisfied the disciples because nothing more is said about that. But when he comes, and now he says, we must go to Judea. And you'll notice this is a very gentle way of saying it. He could have said, I must go to Judea. He didn't say it like that. Or he didn't say, we must go to Judea. He just said, let us go. It's very gentle way of dealing with these disciples. Say you could even say tender-hearted way of dealing with the disciples, but it's very gentle kind of way of stating this. But the disciples heard this, and you see their concern. And I think concern is the right word. It's not opposition. It's just concern. I think they were concerned for him and concerned for themselves. The disciples said to him, verse 8, Rabbi, teacher, lately the Jews sought to stone you. Do you remember that? Lately the Jews sought to stone you, and you are going there again? Now, this going to Judea was not going to Jerusalem, but it was going to Judea, the area of Jerusalem, so they knew that while they were where they were at the present hour, there was safety. Safety just in the distance. They still knew that the Jews and the Jewish leaders were intent on taking Jesus Christ and killing him. They knew that from what was taking place when they were there. But here they were at a distance where John the Baptist had been. They were at a distance and yet close, but far enough away to be a little safer. And I think the disciples were certainly enjoying the lack of pressure from being in Jerusalem and being in this place. I would have. And now Jesus Christ is talking about going back. And we say, Rabbi, this is not safe for you, nor will it be safe for us. This is not a safe place for us to be at the present hour. This is not a good idea. And you know that because when he says to them, our friend Lazarus sleeps, the disciples said, well, if he sleeps, he'll wake up. He says, well, he's not asleep, he's dead. So that brings back, well, I thought this wasn't going to end in death, but the disciples are not thinking through all of these things. They're just simply looking at the whole situation, and they end up being very much, their focus is on the immediate here and now. They're trying to be wise in making decisions, wise in thinking through all the options. So they focus on the immediate danger. They fail to understand the big picture of the mission of the Messiah. They fail to submit to the wisdom of the Lord. Fail to trust the Lord. And so I don't think they intended it as such, but the disciples really were a discouragement to the Lord and his ministry. Because Jesus Christ knew what it was that the Father wanted him to do. That he was to go to Jerusalem. And the disciples were always kind of catching up in terms of Why are we going where we're going? Why are we doing what we're doing? Why are you so intent on this mission? Why does this have to happen now? And so, again, we have this statement about walking in the day, walking in the night, stumbling, not stumbling, the hours in the day. When it seems like Jesus Christ could have simply said, you men need to trust me. Let us go. You men need to trust that I know what God wants me to do and where God wants you to be. Let us go. But he doesn't say it like that. He says ultimately the same kind of thing, but he says it this way. Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble because he sees the light of the world, light of this world. But if anyone walks in the night, he stumbles because the light is not in him. Now, whenever Jesus Christ started to speak like this, I'm sure the disciples paid particular attention because he's giving a bigger picture. He's giving a main point. He says, are there not 12 hours in the day? Now, that he's talking about the daylight hours. And you say, well, it depends on if it's daylight savings time or whether it's standard time. But the general picture is there's 12 hours of daylight, there's 12 hours of night. So it's not, as you know, and living on this earth, it's not always the same time. But generally speaking, he's saying, are there not 12 hours in the day? Obvious statement, nothing mysterious about it. Just a clear moment of teaching. He's using a word picture. So they're going to be hearing this word picture with the idea of saying to their own hearts, what is he telling us? He's obviously not telling us about day and night. He's telling us something that we need to hear for our hearts. And they did need to hear this for their hearts, and so do we. If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble because he sees the light of this world. You say, well, I understand that too. This is a fairly obvious so far. I'm good with the story. If you walk in the daylight, it's you can see where you're going, and you're not going to stumble because you see the light of this world. So you see where you're going and you walk along. As again, this is just a general picture. It's, do people ever stumble in daylight hours? I say, well, I have, but that's my own foolishness. But there are times when I have stumbled during the daylight hour. For the most part, we'd say, well, you know, when you go out in the daylight, you pretty much can see what's going on. But then he adds, but if anyone walks in the night, he stumbles because the light is not in him. This is walking at the night. It reminds me of the Bible Institute a while back. And one of the ladies walked out the door. It's dark outside. And she left and she came back in with a bloody nose. And I said, what happened? And she went up and went around the corner and didn't know there were those 12 steps that there because she's walking in the dark. And she landed on her face. And fortunately, she was not injured in such a way that she could not recover. She recovered from that. So she went to the hospital, spent the night at the hospital, or not the night, but spent the evening at the hospital. But it's just an example, and she just didn't see the stairs. She just went up, walked around. She walked up the stairs down below, and then she went up to the front. And as she was walking across the front, she did not see the stairs and went down, which fits perfectly with the story here that we're giving you, stumble in the night. Would she have stumbled in the day? No, she would not have stumbled in the day because she would have seen the stairs. But she stumbled because there was no light. Now you look at this and you say, interesting story. And you know, sometimes I think when the disciples heard the Lord teaching, they were going, I know what he's saying. I'm not quite sure what he means. I know what he's saying. I'm not sure exactly what he's talking about. But here he's talking about going to Judea, and we're saying, don't go. And he said, you need to know something. You're to walk in the light. And what does he mean by that? We'll go back again and look at John chapter 8, verse 12, where Jesus Christ says, I am the light of the world. I am the light of the world. John 8, verse 12. I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. He who follows me. Now let me just take this verse and first apply it to Jesus Christ. So Jesus Christ certainly had perfect perception of the will of God. I mean, he, unlike anyone else, had a perfect insight into the will of God. He knew exactly what God wanted him to do. And the will of God, if you look at Romans chapter 12, you don't have to turn there, but if you look at Romans chapter 12, verse 2, it talks about how that we are to present our bodies living and holy sacrifice to God, acceptable to him, which is our spiritual service of worship. Our whole thing is to present ourselves to the Lord, not being conformed to this world, stop being conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may approve the will of God. That you may approve what the will of God is. What is the will of God? Well, that you may approve that it is good, meaning morally good. There's nothing anything immoral about the will of God for you. It is morally good. You'll always find that to be true. It is acceptable, mean well-pleasing, and that well-pleasing means well-pleasing to God, but it's also well-pleasing to us. But the will of God, that you may affirm, it means the idea of testing this so that you'll show that it's true. So it's not testing this to show that it's not true, it's testing it with the positive effect intended. So he talks about it in Romans 12, that you will know that the will of God is always morally good, always well-pleasing, and it always brings you to the goal. It's perfect. And that's what Paul says in Romans 12 that we are to do in light of the gospel message. We're to affirm the will of God in the way in which we walk and affirm those things about the will of God. Each one of us, that's what we're to do. But that's also what Jesus Christ did, because he affirmed that the will of God is good and acceptable and well-pleasing and perfect, bringing us to the goal. Because Jesus was going to go and he was going to raise Lazarus from the dead. And he was to be glorified, and Lazarus was to live, and Mary and Martha and the disciples were going to be greatly encouraged in their faith. Greatly encouraged in their faith. There are a lot of things that I'd love to see, but this is one of the things I'd love to see. I'd love to have been with Jesus at the tomb of Lazarus and seen and heard everything that took place. You know, talk about something that would be encouraging to your faith. We talked about the resurrection in Sunday school. This would be a great encouragement to your belief in the resurrection. For Lazarus to be in the tomb for 4 days, and Jesus say, Lazarus, come forth, and Lazarus comes forth. And Jesus Christ saying, I am the resurrection. I am the life. And we would say, this is amazing. And we would say, does that strengthen our faith? Oh, yes, that strengthens our faith. But does he say to the disciples, well, we're going there because I want to strengthen your faith? He doesn't tell them that. Doesn't say that to them, but that's what he knew. And so Jesus Christ was to go to raise Lazarus from the dead. The will of God was ultimately for Jesus Christ to be crucified as the atonement for sin in Jerusalem. That also was going to take place. And Jesus Christ knew all of that. And part of this speaking about walking in the day, you walk in the day, you will not stumble. And I was reading a statement by J.C. Ryle, and he said, there's a saying that goes, every man is immortal until his work is done. Every man is immortal until his work is done. Certainly it was true of Jesus Christ. very true of him because he was unable to die until our sins were charged to his account. But everyone, especially Jesus Christ, is immortal. Jesus Christ cannot die until the Father's will is for him to be on the cross that day. So Jesus Christ was not worried about going up to see Lazarus and dying because he knew the will of the Father. So he simply was, this is what the Father has for me to do today. I want you to go to Jerusalem. I want you to go to Judea, Bethany. I want you to raise Lazarus from the dead. So Jesus Christ says, let us go to Judea. Because he's walking in the light of the will of God. Because he knows that will. Now, the disciples, and I'll speak of us as well, but the disciples did not have that perfect perception of the will of God. You know, however, Jesus, in all the times he spent in prayer, all the times he spent communing with the Father, all the time he spent in this oneness with the Father, with whom he is one, deriving the things that he is to do, the ministry, he says, the work that you see me to do, he was always saying this, the work that you see me to do is the work that the Father is doing in heaven. He does the work, I do the work. This, I do his work. I see what he does, I do what he does. Because he wants them to know that he is from the Father, the Father's accomplishing his purposes in him. And so he makes very clear that he does what the Father, it's as if he's always in ministry, he's always kind of doing what the Father wants him to do. I mean, that's the sort of the impression. He says, you want me to go over here. You know, it's like he's getting his direction from the will of God, which he is God and has the will of God, knows the will of God, intimately acquainted. But the disciples don't have that. And that's why Jesus Christ says, I'm the light of the world. I'm the light of God's truth. If you want to know the will of God, look at Jesus Christ. He's the light. He knows the will of God. He is the will of God. He knows the will of God. And therefore, he is the light that shines on the pathway. He is the light of this world. And so he says to the disciples, I am the light. If I'm going as the light, walk in the light. Follow me. When he says, I am the light of the world, he who follows me shall not walk in darkness. I'm not leading you into the darkness. I mean, he could have said to them, didn't you remember what I said back there in being the light of the world? You think the light of the world is going to lead you into the darkness? He says, no, well then follow me. Because they only have perception of the will of God as they follow Jesus, who forever exists as the light of the world. And they were to follow his word. And if he says, let's go to Judea, they should have said, the light of the world is telling us to go to Judea. The light of the world is shining on the pathway. We know what the will of God is for us, because if he says, let's go to Judea, let us go to Judea. And you look at that and you say, well, what about us? I say, well, we don't have perfect perception of the will of God. If Rick and Joan would have had perfect perception of the will of God, they would have skipped the vacation this year. They would not have departed. They would have said, well, let's just stay at home. We don't know the will of God. By the way, I'm thankful that you are here this morning. That's very nice that you are here. But we don't know the will of God. We don't know what a day may bring. We don't know the future. It'd be wonderful if we had the same opportunity to know the will of God that Jesus had, where we look to the Father every day, get up in the morning, and we begin in prayer and say, God, what do you want me to do? And if he said, I want you to go do these things, we'd say, okay. That's what we're going to go do. I would like that. But Jesus Christ says, I am the light of the world. So that means we come to the Word of God to find out how we are to live. We come to the Word of God to find out what we are to do. And when people talk about, well, I heard a voice telling me that this needed to be happen, or a voice telling me that this needed to take place, or whatever, and then I say, well, did you actually hear a voice? No, I just had this leaning in my heart and everything. The leaning in your heart can be all over the place. The Word of God is the light of the world. Jesus is the light of the world. The one thing I can be sure of when it comes to God's truth is when I have the Scriptures given to us. When the disciples heard Jesus Christ saying, let us go to Judea, that means that is the will of God. He is the light of the world. And when he says in Scripture, present yourself to God as your spiritual service of worship. Present yourself to God as a holy and living sacrifice. I know what the will of God is. It's that is the will of God. And when I read the Scriptures, and I read the Scriptures, I read them to know what it is that God wants me to do. And we would like it to be very precise. Sometimes we would. I don't know that John the Baptist would want to know, I want you to go to prison, and then I want you to go there, and I want some dancing girl to have your head cut off. I think if that was me, I think I'd want to be surprised. I'd be thinking about it a lot if I was thinking about it ahead of time. But not that I want my head cut off, but I would think I would want that to be a surprise event for me. But the Lord doesn't reveal the will of God for us in detail. He gives us the specifics of what he wants us to do in Scripture. That's a specific, if you want to hear the Word of God, hear the Word as it is in Scripture. Because God said, I am the light of the world, and then he leaves us the light of his truth. And so we have in Scripture what it is that he wants us to do. And he doesn't tell us the reason why. He doesn't tell us the usefulness. He didn't tell the disciples, you are going to be blessed beyond measure. You're going to see me raise someone from the dead. And this will encourage your faith to no end. I think the disciples said, well, let's go. This sounds like a good thing for me. But he never explains that. He never says, let's go to Judea, and after Judea, we're going to go to the cross. I think the disciples would really have said, well, let's not do that then. But he never says that. He never tells them why they're going, what they're going to do, how it's going to end, what it's going to turn out. He says, follow me. Follow me. And it's a continual challenge to submit to the Lord and his word. We look at the disciples and we say, well, the disciples, they should have responded by saying, okay, let's go. But how many times do we open up the word of God and read passages of scripture that the Lord impresses upon our hearts and we say, well, I may do that, I may not do that. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. You are an ambassador of Jesus Christ. Go tell people about Christ. Okay, well, maybe I'll tell them if they ask. It doesn't say tell them if they ask. It says go tell them. So that's what God tells us. Well, that's what he told us to do. We're ambassadors of Jesus Christ. So God doesn't explain why. He doesn't tell us when. He doesn't tell us where. But he gives us his truth, his word. He tells us how to live. He tells us how to be holy, for he is holy. He tells us how to be obedient. He tells us what to do, who to submit to, who to live by, what things. We're told many things in God's word that he lays out before us. And we go into difficult circumstances We never know what a day may afford, but we do know that the Lord leads us in the light, and we're to follow him. And we like to read passages of Scripture. At least I like to read passages of Scripture, like Psalm 119, verse 105. The word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. The Lord, the word, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. The Lord is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. You know, sometimes I wish it would say, the Lord is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path and a spotlight for the future. So I can get an idea, but it's, the picture of this is like walking in the darkness with a lamp for my feet and a light on the path. Because that's what the Word of God is for us. And we look at that and we say, oh, I like that. That is an encouragement to me. The Lord leads us in the steps, the place where he wants us to go. Let's go to Judea. This is where I'm leading your life. And the Lord can lead you into all kinds of circumstances. Some of you are going through difficulties. Some of you are going through trials. But always the Lord is leading your pathway. And the challenge is to be faithful to Him and to walk with Him. And some of the ways that the Lord leads us are circumstances which are unavoidable. But going to Judea was unavoidable for the Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore, it had to be unavoidable for the disciples. They had to go. And he could have said to them, well, we're going to go, and we're going to go and raise Lazarus from the dead. This will be a great encouragement to your faith. And then I'm going to go to the cross, and you all are going to run away from me and depart from me. And though you think you're going to be faithful to me, you are going to be unfaithful to me. And again, I think if I was a disciple, I'd want that to be a surprise for me too. I wouldn't want to hear about that in advance. But the Lord just leads us in the light and the pathway. And even the disciples departing and running away from Him is a part of the will of God for them. And the trials that we encounter in life are a part of the will of God for us. I say, I don't like the trials that I'm facing. I don't like the discouragements that I encounter. I don't like the deep waters. But the Lord goes with us in these things, and He is our strength, and He is our, His presence is there, which is what our encouragement is. I say, well, if I could change my life, I certainly would change it. I say, well, it's not yours to change your life. It's yours to walk in the light of God's truth and to walk into the circumstances that He has before you. Not telling you all the things that are going to take place. Not telling you what the end is going to be. Not even telling you what the middle is going to be. Sometimes you just have the light on your feet. But if you walk in the light, you will not stumble. You walk in the light, you will not stumble. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He'll make your path straight. Jesus could have said that to the disciples as well. Trust in me with all your heart. If I say, let's go to Judea, trust in me with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. Your own understanding says that's a dangerous place to go. That's not the place to go. But it was the place to go. Because God said so. In all your ways know Him. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. Acknowledge His presence. Acknowledge Him. Because you're walking with Him. So walk in a manner that is pleasing to Him. And He'll make your path straight. He'll lead you. And you talk about the Apostle Paul. We talked about him this morning in Sunday school. It was a great job of teaching this morning. But in chapter 9, when Paul gives his, when he is saved, and he is blinded by the light, and he goes to Damascus, and the word of the Lord came to Ananias about Paul. And this was the message. He said, I want you to go and talk to Paul. He says, go. For Paul, Paul, is a chosen instrument of mine to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the sons of Israel. I said, wow, that's great. For I will show him how much he must suffer for my namesake. And there's one thing you know about the Apostle Paul's ministry. It is a ministry where he appears before the Gentiles. He appears before kings. And he appears before the sons of Israel. And he suffers. And I'm sort of wondering if that's what Ananias told Paul. You know, I think you might want to be surprised about those things as well. But the leading of the Lord for the Apostle Paul was this great ministry, but also great suffering. And we tend to think, well, God's just going to lead us in the good paths. He'll make my path straight. Everything will go great. Straight paths. But the Lord's leading is for us, He's the light of the world. He's the light that shines on our pathway. And part of acknowledging this is to be on your knees saying, okay, I trust you, God, that you're taking me in the direction that you want me to go. Through suffering. We pray for people who have physical sufferings. Physical sufferings are terrible. Physical sufferings turn into spiritual sufferings. Because you begin to wonder, why doesn't God take this away from me? Why doesn't God heal me? Why doesn't God do something? Why am I in pain? Pain is a terrible teacher. But God shines the light on the pathway, and every one of us has a different pathway that we walk on. And the difficulties, we don't want to go. Sometimes I don't want to go down that pathway. And the Lord says, trust me. Trust me. Submit to God. Trust me that your responsibility is to walk in the light, to be faithful to me, to take one step at a time in faithfulness to me, walking in the light. The pathway where it goes, that's always in the hands of God. But he says, walk. I want you to walk, and I want you to follow me. And if to follow him, you have to trust him. You know, sometimes I hear of guides that are going to guide you through the wilderness, and sometimes I hear of guides that get lost out in the wilderness. That's not the kind of guide I want to follow. So, well, they're not as expensive if you have the cheaper guides. I say, yeah, I want the expensive guides that know the wilderness so I don't get lost. I don't want to be out there with them going, you know, I don't know where we're going. That's not the kind of guy I want to follow. The Lord Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He is all-knowing. He knows what is right for us. He knows the pathway on which you are to walk. And I trust the Lord will bless you in your life and bless me in my life. I desire the blessings of God. We look for God's blessings. We look to have a peaceful life. We look to all the kinds of joyous kinds of things that we can think of. But sometimes God leads us through the difficult times. It's his leading just the same. He's taking these disciples to Jerusalem to strengthen their faith, and then to strengthen their faith in the context of their running away from him in fear and unbelief. And then he's going to gather them back. And he says, you are the ones I want to go forth with the gospel message to the ends of the earth. I said, boy, did he make a mistake with that one. He picked all these losers. But he didn't pick losers. He picked us. We're losers too. But he takes these disciples and he says, I'm leading you. And I think some of them, if he had told them everything that was going to happen, they'd say, we're all through. I'm going to go fishing again. I'd rather go fishing than go where you want us to go. But where, if you ask them today, if they wanted to follow Jesus and walk in the light, they'd say, yes, that's what you're to do. Walk in the light. Walk in the light of God's truth. We live in a country where we have an unknown future before us. We live in a situation of life where we have an unknown future for us day by day. We don't know what a day may bring. But the Lord says, walk in the light. Follow me. Be faithful to me. And that's what he tells the disciples here at this point. And this becomes a very important, he's going to strengthen their faith. He's strengthening their faith now in this statement where he gives this word picture of day and night, stumbling, not stumbling. He said, I'm the light of the world. You can follow me. And what a great encouragement that is to us. Let us be faithful in following the Lord, walking in the light of his truth. That's our responsibility before God as his people. And the encouragement we have is that he strengthens us as we go, and he goes with us, always goes with us. So walk in the light. Walk in the light of God's truth. Let's bow in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for being the light of truth for us. We're thankful for the light of your presence in our lives. We're thankful that though we cannot see the pathway before us, you do. You set it before us. We run the race that is set before us, not by us, but by you. Let us be faithful. We pray that you would give us hearts to trust you, hearts to rely upon you, hearts to depend upon you, hearts to be strengthened by you, hearts that follow you because we know you are infinitely wise. And Lord, we are thankful that you have given this, and Jesus Christ gave you this message, not just for his disciples to hear, but for us to hear. Help us to walk in the light. We believe that Jesus Christ is the light of the world. We believe that the Bible is the light of your truth. Help us to walk in the light. Give us grace and strength to be faithful to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening. In addition to our website, hillcrestchapel.org, you can also follow us on Facebook or Twitter under Hillcrest Chapel, or subscribe to the podcast in iTunes.